Time for us to talk Patriots and more as we're joined by Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Mr. Finn.
Nah, the comedy opening act. That's what I am.
Yeah, well, we like to do it a little differently than most shows do. They would bring the comedian on first. We get to the hard-hitting sports news, and then we bring on the comic.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, especially, since this comic isn't very funny over here.
No, I disagree. You always bring the funny. Well, let's talk. Are there people out there in Patriots Nation who are not believers? If they are, what's wrong with those people?
I got a message from a former editor today who says Mac Jones hasn't played anybody yet.
Does oh, God. Count? Yes. What's wrong with him? My word. He's a rookie.
You know what it is? It's people that were invested in the Patriots having a long rebuild.
Uh-huh.
And their rebuild lasted one season and six games, if you want to count the 2-4 start. And otherwise, it pretty much looks like everything pre-2019. So I know, some people are being cautious and cite the first half of the 2019 season when they were 8-0, and we thought the boogeyman defense was one of the better ones in the NFL, and then the level of competition rose, and they didn't rise with it. But we also have 20 years of experience of knowing what a good Patriots team looks like, and this looks very familiar. Versatile team, deep team, making all of the plays that they can against what the defense gives them, opportunistic defense that really has that knack for taking away what a team does best. So I'm all in. I buy in. I mean, I picked them to go to Super Bowl anyway, semi-facetiously, so I've kind of had to play it this way anyway. But I really do think they're the best team in the AFC right now.
And that defense is so good on so many levels, at getting to the quarterback, at pressuring, I think, is the big thing, forcing guys to throw the ball before they want to, and that's resulted in a ton of turnovers, nobody benefiting from that more than J.C. Jackson. But as you wrote, the biggest play he made yesterday wasn't intercepting a pass.
No, it's punching out that fumble, because I think the score is 19-13 at the time. It was Foreman that time. Both of their running backs went over 100 yards and both fumbled with enormous, terrible, costly fumbles for the Titans from Mike Vrabel's perspective. But Jackson punched that ball out and kind of changed the tone of the game, where you felt like the Patriots are probably going to win, but the Titans was absolutely digging to the depths of their depth chart and trying to find guys who can contribute as replacing the backups to the starters. You know, they were just so beaten up, so many no-names out there, and yet they hung around. It felt like something that a Belichick team would do against a superior opponent. You had to give Mike Vrabel credit for that, but then Jackson made that play. The Patriots outscored him 20-0 in the second half and really took command of the game, and that felt like a really pivotal point, and it's not a fluke. They've been making those plays for several weeks now, and it's clear that this defense is very opportunistic and knows how to create turnovers, and certainly will take them when the opposing team is handing them to them as well.
Mac Jones, it wasn't perfect yesterday, but 310 yards, 2 touchdowns, and really had to be their offense because they couldn't run the ball.
Yeah, it kind of feels like we've gotten to the point where we have to remind ourselves he's a rookie, because every once in a while he'll make a mistake and the game will speed up on him a little bit, or he won't see the rush. You know, Byard had a sack on him, or just Mac had no chance. But when you're doing that with a quarterback who is, 12 games into his NFL career, and you have so much confidence in him at this point that when he makes a mistake it feels like an outlier, you've drafted the right guy. And there were some hiccups. You know, he missed the Hunter Henry throw. Henry was wide open, would have had a touchdown, just overthrew him. Kind of short arm bounced the screen pass to Kendrick Bourne, and kind of had this whole weird series where on third down in the same series, he signaled first down after he picked up 7 on 3rd and 10. So, it wasn't a perfect day. It was his best statistical day he's had, but there were some things there for Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels to point out on film as well. But in terms of a quarterback that gives you a chance to win, I mean, he's right up there already, and it's really remarkable for a rookie quarterback to be doing what he's doing.
And it helps if you've got, the second coming of David Patton out there, as you said, and Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, I keep mixing up all my early Patriots dynasty receivers. I think I compared them to Deion Branch once. I know I did Patton before. Probably threw in a little bit of David Givens. You know, he fights for a tough catch in the end zone. That was Givens' thing. I think he had touchdowns in 8 straight playoff games at one point. So, Bourne has been a real find. Judon obviously was a great signing, probably shaping up to be one of the best Belichick's ever made. Henry has been really good. I still think we're going to get things out of Jonnu Smith. He's kind of he's been asked to be a blocker a little bit more, and it's been unreliable in the passing game. He had his best statistical day yesterday, and I think it was 58 or 59 total yards. So there's room to grow there, but Bourne is right up there on that list of pickups that have come in and just been outstanding. It just seems to get better and better. Can run any route, doesn't give up on a play, fights for the ball, and is a great teammate on top of it all. I mean, the guy has just a completely gregarious personality and is really happy to be here and is happy to be getting the salary he's getting as well. He said that, but that Patriots receiver group that we thought was going to be an issue at the start of the year has really turned out to shape into a pretty reliable three or four guys there.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. A couple of things that clearly need work. What's wrong with them in the red zone?
Yeah, I don't know. They got a good kicker, fortunately. But when you do kickers booting 5 field goals, that's good and bad, right? It's good that he makes them. It's bad that you couldn't convert those into touchdowns. I thought on the first drive, the first field goal drive, they got touched on the first drive, and then they went up 10-6 on their second scoring drive. They got away from passing the ball. I mean, they went right down the field, and 10-yard play, 12-yard play. I think he went back-to-back to Myers and then back-to-back to Smith, and they handed off twice, and Stevenson got nowhere on both of those runs, and they ended up with having to settle for 3 where it looked like they were going to score an easy touchdown. And it doesn't take a lot, for a drive to kind of go off the rails like that, where you call 1 or 2 plays that don't work and suddenly you're facing 3rd and 7 at the 11 or something like that. And when you don't convert that 3rd down, Belichick more often than not is just going to take the points, especially early in the game. So, it was frustrating, but it seemed like they remedied it a little bit in the second half. They ended up 2 for 5 in the red zone. I think they're 58% for the year. But, again, it's something for Belichick to point out on film and to give them a little bit of a hard time about if they're not feeling that great about a 20-plus point win.
And then the run defense yesterday, was that just a bump in the road, or is that a concern?
I feel like the Titans found something with the Patriots have to fix. I mean, we didn't hear Barmore's name a lot yesterday. Godchow had a really good game. 4 tackles in the first quarter alone and seemed to be all over the place. But they were running right up the middle. Bentley made double-digit tackles, but he was chasing a lot of guys all day too. And it wasn't exactly Derrick Henry that was running the ball. It was Hilliard was called up off the practice squad 5 days ago, and the guy who has played for, I think, 3 NFL teams, so kind of a journeyman type. And then Foreman's been around a little bit with the Texans, but is not somebody that's a real threat usually, and both those guys are over 100 yards. So it seems like there's something for them to correct there that Vrabel and his staff saw and capitalized on. The Patriots shut down the passing game. Tannehill was under 100 yards. I think it was like 93 or something like that. Might have been less than that. And that's great. But when a team racks up 270 yards on the ground, that's a sign that you have something to repair before you play a team like the Bills that can take advantage of a lot of different things.
Let's move to baseball for just a moment. Mets getting close, maybe, to getting Max Scherzer. The Blue Jays pick up Kevin Gausman, but it's okay because the Red Sox signed Michael Wacha.
Yeah, apparently he I saw that signing and I thought, oh yeah, he's all right. And then I looked and he's been brutal for three different teams the last 3 years. I thought he was okay for the Rays this year, but his ERA was over 5. But apparently, he found something at the end of the year, changed up his repertoire a little bit, and they like that he's adaptable. I'm not quite sure if that is the number one thing that you want in a pitcher that you're bringing in, but I could see him being someone who helps them, just not in a significant role. One thing Bloom really needs to get the benefit of the doubt on is bringing in these guys who kind of leave you scratching your head, and then more than a few of them panned out this year, like Hunter Renfro, 153, I think, for the Rays in 2020, and ended up being one of the Red Sox better players. Some guys missed too. I don't think anybody enjoyed the Garrett Richards experience. Maybe Waka is a similar thing, but it's clear they see something there that they like and that they think they can build on from what he did late in the season with the Rays.
I don't know what the Rangers' plans are, but they're spending money. They picked up Marcus Semien, and then just moments ago, apparently they've signed Corey Seager.
Oh, did they? Jeez, I didn't see that one. Huh. Well, that people were expecting that because he has some tie back there. I can't remember what it is, a hitting coach or something like that. But, there was expectation that'd be front runners there. I really like Semien as a player, but 7 years for and $175 million for, what is he, 33 years old? And he's had some real down seasons. This was by far the best season of his career. Terrific defensive player. I think the Red Sox probably had some interest there in him, but for 7 years, no way. I suspect, as respected as he is around baseball and as good as he was last year and as good as he was his last couple of years in Oakland too, this is going to be a regrettable contract for the Rangers. Seager's quite a bit younger. He's not a good defensive shortstop, but that probably is the safer deal.
Are you going on the Jab this afternoon? Big shakeup at the Jab with our friend Chris Sedinka moving on.
Yeah, Chris, I think was on the show. I was on the show with him before Hobbs came along. Maybe I've been on with them for more than 10 years, so it's been a while. But it's shaking up the whole thing. They got rid of Jim Rome and Dan Patrick's show, which have filled the middays down here for several years, and going all local because I'm sure part of the reason for that is that the Boston stations are getting affiliates up here now. 985 The Sports Hub is a morning show up here, and probably will do more. I wouldn't be surprised if you're Felger and Maz in the Portland area, too.
Big changes afoot out there. Yeah, our boys, the Mannix brothers, coming to the middays down there.
I didn't know they were related to Kevin Mannix until I heard him on with them over the weekend.
Yeah.
I probably should have assumed, but yeah, you never know. But that's good for them. Never a bad idea to have all local sports talk. But there's definitely an increased level of competition now in that market.
Absolutely. Well, you have fun there with them this afternoon. Thanks, as always, for joining us, Chad, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, just me and Javier today. But, yeah, look forward to talking to him about Max Scherzer.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Chad.
See you, Rich. Take care.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe here on Downtown.